I call this a meeting of the House Property Tax Division to order. And members, I will just turn the floor over to Representative Pearson as he welcomes and introduces this event.
Hey, good evening, everyone. My name is Representative Nels Pearson. Thank you for coming, and I want to thank all the members of the House of Representatives Property Tax Committee, and thank them for coming down here to Stuartville. Over the last year or so, I heard a lot from folks in my district that property taxes is a major issue, and I've shared that with the committee members, and they've agreed to come down and listen to some of the issues that you're dealing with. And so I appreciate them taking the time, and would just thank you all for coming, and hope we have a great discussion and have a great civil discourse here tonight. Thanks much.
I'd like to welcome everybody. I'm Representative Steve Draskowski. I think we'll stand one at a time. We're going to introduce ourselves here. I'm Representative Steve Draskowski, and I represent House District 21B, which includes the counties of portions of the counties of Wabasha, Winona, Goodhue, and a small part of Dodge County. And I'm chair of the House Property Tax Committee, and we cover our area covers. Property taxes and also local government finance. So if you have questions or ideas tonight, really our approach here tonight, and thank you, Representative Pearson, for bringing us here, and thanks for bringing this crowd. Wow, this is jam-packed. I never knew property taxes were that exciting, but Representative Pearson, you shook the bushes and got people out here, so kudos to you. I'm going to have my colleagues here on the committee. We don't have the full committee tonight, but we've got maybe a third or a half or something like that of the committee. And we're eventually going to ask you to come up, and we're going to have you come up to those that would like to talk at the very scary testifying table here. And what we're looking for is two things. If you could share with us your experience on property taxes and local government finance in your communities and the state of Minnesota as a whole, any problems that you've had. And then secondly, and the thing we're really looking for is ideas. Ideas as we move forward and try to improve the system we have here in the state of Minnesota. So I am going to allow my colleagues to introduce themselves before we get started. So we'll pass the microphone on down, and we'll start with we got the Democrat side and the Republican side, but we're going to start with the Democrat side today. Let's pass it on down.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I certainly do appreciate you putting this meeting together, and Representative Pearson, I see Senator Stengem here, so very much appreciate your hospitality, inviting us to your district, and thank all of you for taking time out of your schedules and joining us tonight. It's always a really good opportunity to get out into the communities around Minnesota and to hear from folks, you know, hear what's going on. My name is Ben Lean. I'm a state representative. It's my second term from Moorhead, so it's District 4A. Moorhead, and I have a township just north of Moorhead as well, and this is also my second term on the property tax division. So, like I say, thank all of you for coming out, and anxious to hear your ideas.
Good evening. I'm Representative Jim Davney, District 63A, which is part of Minneapolis, and am very pleased to be here. Great turnout. I'm looking forward to the evening. Thank you.
And hi, I'm Dave Pinto. I'm a state representative from District 64B, which is the southwestern part of St. Paul. And I'm very happy to be here and happy to see everyone, and looking forward to hearing from you tonight. So thanks a lot.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming out tonight. My name is Jerry Hertas, and I represent District 33A, which is the western one-third of Hennepin County. There's 11 cities in that area, and it's very much like here at home for you folks. It's the rural part of Hennepin County.
Good evening. I'm Dwayne Quam, 25A. Grew up on a farm in Salem Township, just a little north of 30, so somewhat familiar with the area. And I do notice that we have people from Dodge and some surrounding areas, and it's great to see the public, and please give us your ideas, and we're here to listen.
Thank you, members. And it was mentioned that Senator Senjum is here. Thank you, Senator, for joining us today. Former Representative Bill Queasley is in the back, I understand. Representative, good to see you, as always. And Senator Nelson was, I think, planning to come. I don't know if she made it or not. Senator, are you here? Oh. Former Representative Bradley is here. Please stand up, Representative. Thank you for coming. Senator Nelson, is she here? Is there anybody else here that I should, well, we should recognize everybody, but we will hopefully get a chance to do that one way or another tonight. One of the approaches that I have used as we started the year, we're just in our third week now in the session of legislature, and we don't, you know, in the tax committee, we don't have any formal rules to the committee. We don't have deadlines for amendments or anything, but we just try to make it work. But one of the things that I have tried to do is to listen more to the people. And in St. Paul, one of the things we don't get enough of is real people. I mean, we're all real people, and even people who work for government and lobbyists, et cetera, they're real people too. But people who are not paid to be there at the Capitol and encourage them to participate in the legislative process. And the cool thing about coming out here tonight is there's a lot of people in that category here. And so what we try to do is if you're somebody who is not a government employee or a lobbyist, we want you to be first. And so that's how we run our committee, and we're going to have a lot of those firsts here tonight. Unfortunately, at the Capitol, we don't have as many of those, but we want you to come and try to participate more often. So I believe Mr. Rubis and Mr. Kay, if you and Miss Richardson. So if you guys want to stand up, first we have Mr. Rubis, who is the House GOP committee administrator, and we've got Mr. Kay, who is the House GOP researcher for the committee, and Ms. Richardson, who is a House DFL researcher for the Property Tax Committee. Thank you for coming and telling us what we need to do here. So we appreciate that. And so I think Mr. Kay is going to kind of track the kind of problems that people see and ideas that people see. We're going to try to record some of those as we go forward. And so we'd like you to come up. We had some people do some pre-registration. I've got their names. There weren't a lot of you that pre-registered. Those of you that did, we're going to have you come up first. And then after that, I'll just go through the registration list, and we'll try to get people involved. So please come up and be as succinct as you can, because we have a lot of people here. We're going to hear as many as we can. And if it gets too long, I might have to just kind of, you know, try to hold you back so we can move on. If members have any questions they want to ask, we're not here as much to offer the wealth of information we have about property tax. As a matter of fact, many of us are learning a lot about property tax right now. As a matter of fact, this is my first year on this particular committee. So we want to hear really from you first and foremost. So the first person I have is Dan Brandt. Dan, are you wanting to come and speak tonight?
Yes.
Thank you. And then secondly on the list is Tobin Emmerich. If you want to kind of stand in the batter's box or the warm-up circle, or what's it called?
On deck,
yeah. Okay, and when you come up, we're going to need you to speak into the microphone, and there's a sheet there that we need you to sign in, because this does become part of the public record. This is an actual meeting of the House Property Tax Committee. So not to be intimidating, it's pretty simple, but
you're not intimidating.
I think you had to flip this. Yeah. Yes, and
we've got some folks from
Redmond. Oh, I'm sorry.
Let the community know that.
Yes, yes. Yes, thank you. Before you proceed, Dan, we have some folks from Revenue. And Mr. Cummings, could you so we have Mr. Paul Cummins from the Minnesota Department of Revenue is here. And with him is, Ms. Ang is here, Amy Ang. And then who else do we have? Nathan Jessen. So the three of you, Mr. Cummins, thank you for coming. And if you have questions, you guys, between now and the end of the night or even after, I'm sure they're good till midnight or so, right? They are here to as a resource to you and to us. So if we have something technical, if you guys, I'll maybe refer to you. We don't want to do a lot of that, but we might need to do some. So thank you for coming, and Representative Davney, thank you for pointing that out. Okay, so we do go through the chair, Dan. So if you would address the chair, and then I will recognize you. And if there's a member that wants to, we will go. You'll get the hang of it as we go. So speak into the mic and sign in as you go. Feel free to grab a chair.
Am I on now?
I think so. Begin by stating your name and Mr. Brandt, please. Please state your name and who you are for the record, and then proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Dan Brandt. I live in Olmsted County. I have all my life. And I just want to say, never underestimate the power of Facebook. The word was out that this meeting was happening, and a lot of these people showed up because of that. So I'm going to sit down now. Have you recognized me yet?
I did. Mr. Brandt, you have the stage.
Good evening. My name is Dan Brandt, and my wife Donna and I, we have farmed in the Yoda area since 1970. We own 556 acres in Olmsted County. Since 2012, our property taxes have risen from $21,000 in 2012 to $32,116 as the proposed tax for 2015. That's a 53% increase over a four-year period. That's the only expense on my farm that has increased that much. The portion that I pay for, on your tax form, there's three different sections there. One's for Olmsted County Government, Yoda Township, and then Dover Yoda Schools. Now, for the government's Olmsted County and the township, I have no complaints. We own 556 acres. The county says it's worth $4 million. And that's probably close. So I don't have any issue with the value. But the issue is with funding the school. I talked to a neighboring farmer, and he's got a brother-in-law in town, so we got a hold of his proposed tax statement. He's got a house similar to mine, valued at $155,000, and he's paying $700 a year towards Dover Yoda School. I am paying $10,600 towards the Dover Yoda School. And this is something that people vote on. City people in Yoda can pass a referendum. Farmers can't stop it, but farmers are paying 94% of the tab compared to this guy in town. And that's got me a little hot. If a new referendum comes along, they always advertise that it'll only add $100 to $200 to the taxes on your house. They never tell you what it's going to cost the farmer. But if the farmer's paying 94% of it, and it costs the guy in town $100, I'm going to pay over $3,000 in additional tax for that school. And that is just not fair. The increases, the values have been increased on our farm since 2012 when we had $8 corn, $15 soybeans. We currently have $3.40 corn and $9 soybeans. And also the price of milk to the dairy farmers is dropping. It'll be dropping almost $10 a hundredweight. So there's going to be some cash flow problems in agriculture this year. If taxes go up and continue to stay there, we're going to have farmers my age start to exit the business. They'll cash out and say, to heck with paying these big property taxes. The larger farmers will buy up the small farmers, and you won't have anybody to support your smaller towns. And that situation is bad enough already. Farmland values are starting to drop because a lot of us cannot cash flow our operations for this next year. The best thing we could do is stop spending money we don't have. If property taxes were to double on city folks, we'd hear some real screaming. And I think the city folks have to start sharing some of the burden here. And also for ideas. I think we need to have term limits on town boards, county boards, school boards, and state representatives. Sorry. Because these bad ideas just linger on and eventually they become law. So that's my speech. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Brandt. Members, any questions for the witness? Thank you, Mr. Brandt, and appreciate your testimony. And our next testifier is Tobin Emmerich, Mr. Emmerich, and then Sean Palmer next, and then in on deck from there is Mike Flynn. So, Mr. Emmerich, if you want to introduce yourself and your background for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Tobin Emmerich. I live in Stuartville. I have a business in Rochester. And my concerns are with my commercial real estate. Having grown up on a farm, I can sympathize with Mr. Brandt. My folks are having the same issues down in Iowa. So, issue has been in the time I've owned my business, my property taxes have gone up 47%. I've had a market analysis done on it. My market value's gone up only 20% during that time. The appraised value by the county and all has gone up 18%. But my main issue is that how arbitrary the assessment value is. This past year, I received an assessment increase. It was about $60,000 more. And so I called down to the county, and I spoke with them. And I just called down, and I just said, hey, I'm in a win-win situation. If my property's really gone up that much, then I have, you know, I have appreciated a piece of real estate. And if it hasn't and I can have it lowered, then my taxes will go down. So just in a short course of conversation, they said, I'll call you back tomorrow. I actually got an email back the next day. And they actually lowered my assessed value by $65,000. So I actually am paying less than what I had before they even raised it. So, I don't know who gets to make those decisions. If I hadn't called or, it seems really arbitrary then how somebody can make a decision that fast. And, you know, how is it affecting other people then too in the community? So I don't know how the process works, so I don't have an idea at all as far as problem solving. I do on the farm thing, however. I think farmsteads should just have their house and maybe 2 acres around the homestead be available for those types of tax increases and have the agricultural done on a separate basis. But, that's all I have to say, I guess.
Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. Members, any questions for Mr. Emmerich? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. And our next testifier is Mr. Palmer, and then Mike Flynn after that. And then after Mike Flynn will be Bob Marg. Palmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to talk about my employer, who's a small businessman
Mr.
in
Palmer,
Rochester.
Mr. Palmer, if you could introduce yourself and your background quickly and then proceed. Thanks.
Okay. My name is Sean Palmer. I'm representing a business owner in Rochester who owns, he's a small businessman and owns some retail and strip centers. His property taxes on his strip center went up 14.6% in the last year. His retail went up 26% in the last year. His other strip center went up 22.3% in the last year. And he has a small restaurant that only went up 5.4%. Of that, that's $1,000 a month in property tax for that poor restaurant that he has to pay for property taxes. And he's very concerned about his employees. He's very concerned about the tenants in his spaces and what we're going to do about that. He's very concerned about the property values in Rochester raising faster. And he's forced to sell, and that's he doesn't want to sell. So he's very concerned with this.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Questions for Mr. Palmer, members? Thank you for coming. Appreciate it. I believe Senator Nelson is here. Senator, are you okay? She will reappear soon. Senator Nelson, thank you for coming. And thank you. Okay, well, get in line, Senator. That government people are last here, you know. Okay. Mr. Flynn, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Mike Flynn. I'm from Winona County. I have a business in Lewiston. The timing is right because I want to talk about commercial property in small towns, whether it be Chatfield. I'm from Lewiston, but it could be Mazeppa. It could be Hayfield. And I'm not going to talk about the assessed value and what it went up or this or that, but I'm going to tell you that we rank number two in the nation for being taxed. I think that's very alarming. And what it is causing is lack of people going back into small towns and buying those businesses to keep them viable. Because when I drove through St. Charles, both sides, a lot of buildings for sale. And then if you look on page 3 of one of the handouts, you find that, yes, indeed, commercial property, not farmland, is assessed the highest. We're the highest. So if I had a $4 million business in Lewiston, on the current rates for all the taxes, it would be $144,000. That is a challenge for small business. So if you have the butcher shop in Chatfield, or you have the feed store in Lewiston, or the small restaurant in Mazeppa, as the last gentleman said, it is a real challenge to hire and cover that overhead. And I see the small town, Main Street, suffering. Now the solution, I think, is really getting some parity. As I look through the handouts, it's kind of like the Affordable Care Act. How could you be more confusing if you tried? And I'm going to read it 3 or 4 times, and I'm going to get more confused every time I look at it. So good luck trying to figure it out, but I'm going to leave it up to you to look and see. My idea is to try to simplify the problem so you can more easily solve it. So thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Mr. Flynn. Questions, members, for Mr. Flynn? And Mr. Flynn and others, we do have a very complicated property tax. One member described it as the most complicated property tax in the world, and we've got that's one of the things I know that we need to look at addressing. Next is Mr. Marg. If you would introduce yourself for the record and proceed, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Robert Marg. I'm from over by Minnesota, Minnesota, down by Winona. I think the property tax issue, a lot of it centers around the schools, especially when they pass special referendums. My proposal would be, or my idea would be, that they go where the operating one, I believe, is already, the house, garage, and 1 acre. I think for building schools, it also should be that for farmers. On special referendums, even for other issues, I've had somebody tell me that Soil and Water wants to start so that they raise their own money. And so that would go on. I think that should be balanced out too, that farmers don't pay so much of the cost of it. On other issues, my taxes went up 30% a year ago. This year they went up 12%. I'm getting to the point where I've got a few health issues and stuff, and I can't work the long hours anymore. My cows will be leaving this coming summer, so I may have an issue of even trying to keep a hold of the farm and keep between paying insurance, paying medical, and trying to pay the property taxes if they go up much more than what they are right now. I believe the evaluation problem is that there's only a few farms sold at very high prices, and that causes everybody's taxes to go up. I believe they should take, when there's only a few farms sold, I believe it was like 5 or 7 farms or parcels that were sold, and they went very high because neighbors were fighting over them. There should be some way to balance that off by price of corn, price of milk, and get some formula. I'm not smart enough to figure it out, but it's just an idea to throw out that property taxes would be lowered some if the crop prices, milk prices, beef prices all went down. So, and like I said, I'm not smart enough to figure out exactly how to do it, but you were looking for ideas, and that's an idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan. Steve Hinksefeld, if you would come up. Thank you, Mr. Marg. And for those in the audience, if you have issues you want to talk to the committee again after tonight about assessment, we are going to be focusing on assessment at our next hearing, which is next Wednesday at 8:15 at the State Office Building, and we're going to have similar discussion around assessment issues. So, Mr. You're welcome to come. Mr. Hinksfeld.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Steve Hoosingbelt. I am from Spring Valley, Minnesota, which is, I found out, a little out of the district. You probably know Mr. David, so I know him well. The reason I came tonight was I'm a retired dairy farmer, so I just missed the best years in dairying, but I'm still a silent partner in the operation. And I served on a school board for 10 and a half years in our local Kingsland School District, and I'm really in support of schools. My son is a school teacher. So I don't have an issue there. My issue has been we had a referendum about 5 or 6 years ago to build on a new elementary school, which we did, and we passed it. And then that's gone on, and now they're coming back and wanted another bonding to repair because they don't get enough money from the state because of student population to repair buildings. Every year they need about $250,000, they've been figuring, and they've been getting about $50,000 a year. And what happens is when you have a new money sent out to the schools, of course, being a former board member, anybody that understands this, is about 80% go to staff, whether it's teachers, employees, all the way down the line, and 20% goes to every other part of the school, which is busing, whatever. And usually in the capital fund for repairs, in the Kingsland District, I know, because I'm now on a committee because they're studying this, what to do. And so I thought, well, the community was really upset about this because we're a farming community. And being a farmer and being a school board member, I sat down and I thought, I'm going to figure out my taxes from year 2000 on my 165-acre farm. Not a very big farm, but it's included in the operation. It has gone up from 2000 to 2013, 270%. So I went to one of my friends in town, and I says, I want to get this verified because I actually own a cabin down in Wabasha that I think I sold today, maybe. That, since 2000, the taxes have gone up 30%. So I talked to my friend in town in Spring Valley, and says, you don't have to tell me what your taxes are. Just tell me how much they've gone up since the year 2000, 30%. Now I get the picture that when I go on this committee meeting, which I have in a couple weeks, I said, what's wrong with this picture? As Mr. Brandt said in the beginning, farmers and businesses are paying 94% of the taxes when a school bonds. So I'm recommending that house, garage, and 1 acre be used for bonding issues to figure this out, because it's kind of difficult. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Hoosingfeld. Questions? Thank you. Sorry to mess your name up the first time. Members, questions for Mr. Hoosingfeld? Okay. I do not know exactly how to proceed from here on out, but if someone would like to come up, if you would just raise your hand. And again, we're going to go with non-government and non-lobbyists first. So, yes, please come up. And then in the back, Fran, if you want to be on deck, and then we'll try to identify an on deck as each person comes up. Please introduce yourself and what you do for the record, and then please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Marty Gloff. I came here tonight not for my own personal property, but for the property that belongs to our family through an LLC. We established an LLC among my wife and her siblings and the spouses when my in-laws were in failing. Well, my father-in-law had passed away and my mother-in-law was in failing health, so we bought the family farm. In the last several years, and I've got data from 2012 through 2015 here, although the market value of the farm, which is just south of Rochester, although the market value has only gone up hundredths of a percent from 2012 to 13, 200ths of a percent, the next year 500ths of a percent, and nothing in the last assessment, but the taxable market value has gone up 16.5%, 28.9%, and then from 14 to 15, just 7.57%. And the taxes then have gone up in similar proportions. So we've gone from paying $3,440 a year in taxes to last year paying over $5,000 in taxes. We are retired or close to being retired. We rent out the farm property, and the income from renting out the farm property doesn't cover all of the expenses of the mortgage, the taxes, the insurance. We've had to then kick in our own money to, you know, be able to pay the expenses. So I guess my main concern is, you know, how the taxable market value can go up so much while the estimated market value has remained virtually steady, only increasing, you know, hundredths of a percent. And so then the taxes go up significantly and make it very hard to be able to, you know, keep the books balanced. My wife has gone to the local Rochester Township and the county board a couple of times to try and see if there can be anything done, but she's kind of gotten a deaf ear on changes to be made. So hopefully something can be done to keep the taxable market value from increasing so significantly in such a short time.
Thank you, Mr. Goff. Members, any questions? Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Marty. I'm curious, with converting to the family corporation for the inheritance, have there been any issues with homestead credit and the tax impacts because you've been forced to do that with the tax inheritance code?
We lost the homestead credit We bought the farm, actually, it would have been about 2002 or 2003, because my wife's mother passed away in 2003. But it's just been in the last couple of years that we've had such a significant increase in our taxes.
Other questions, members? Thank you, Mr. Glough. We are going to be digging in deeper on this assessment issue next week, and feel free to come up and participate in that hearing too, and others as well. Mr. Bradley, if you want to come next, somebody want to be on deck? You, sir, with the black hat will be on deck. Mr. Bradley, please introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Drazkowski and members of the committee. You might say this is now for something completely different. I appreciate the individual stories. I just want to share with you, because I'm still a policy wonk, once a policy wonk, always a policy wonk. I want to share with you just at least a couple of thoughts. One, buying down property taxes simply doesn't work, and I think I left a sheet in front of you that talks to that. And secondly, although there's a big focus on property taxes, I would urge you to watch out for what I call stealth taxes. And let me elaborate just briefly on the first. I think there's been a history. There was a history when I was in legislature. There's a history since. In desperation to try to solve some of the stories that you hear here, to take taxpayer money and to think we can buy it down. And I believe I even heard Representative Thiessen just recently admitting that it's not working. And it hasn't worked historically, because what you see, for example, this year, and you've heard specific examples here, after a couple of years of trying to attempt to buy down and to raise local government subsidies, you're hearing rates of increase in levies. I think the education has been somewhere around 18%, just as an example. So. I would contend that there's no sense wasting state taxpayers' money trying to buy it down. And then, in addition to the stories you hear, for a lot of these taxpayers, there's a whole other set of taxes, and I'll use Rochester as a specific example. In Rochester, we have a total value of $78 million of revenue. I'm sorry, this is a revenue, $78 million of revenue in local revenue raised. Of that amount, over $22 million is these stealth taxes. They're user fees, they're in lieu of taxes fees, they are franchise fees, and we just had a big debate about that last night. So it's not insignificant. I mean, you might think, well, those things would not be a big deal, but they really are a big deal. And I'm happy to hear from Chair Drazkowski that it is within your mission, not just property taxes, but to be looking at the entire story of local government taxation. So I would urge the committee on both those counts. One, please, amongst your colleagues, don't resist the temptation to try to buy it down, because that doesn't work. And secondly, to include in the discussion and analysis of local taxes the notion of other taxes that I call stealth taxes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bradley. Any questions, members? Thank you. And next on deck, I guess we'll have this gentleman first. Please introduce yourself for the record, and then proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Jerry Dahlman. I've lived in Dodge in Olmsted County. I live in Olmsted County now. And I was an auctioneer and real estate broker for probably 35, 40 years now. And I've had some small businesses. And I think I'll just sit right down here. And one of the issues, I've got a number of them. Before I get started, my son, who is actively involved in the military as an officer, plans on retiring back here in a few years. And I've seen Mr. Sendrum. I didn't see him here tonight, but I understand he's there. He is. Met him many times. introduced a bill to lower Social Security, not tax it as much, and was wondering why the veterans can't in Minnesota have a bill, because he says there's a lot of states that are more comfortable to live in when you retire. I'll leave that at that. What I wanted to talk to you about is I have 3 acres out here in the industrial park northwest, right behind the Legion, west of 52, about a block. My taxes on them 3 acres are $7,700. That's $2,500 an acre. Goes up every year. I know that we got a new school and I got a fine school here. I've been to the EDA here. I've been to the tax boards, which can be intimidating. I've been to the assessor, and they pat me on the back and say, you're a nice guy because you pay for this, you pay for taxes, and then on the side, we're competing with you. The city of Sturville's got their own properties. So I pay on both sides. And it looks to me like there should be some kind of an adjustment. I cannot believe I'd be the only one in the state that has this problem. When something is lotted and plotted, but it isn't fully developed, that we have to pay these kind of high taxes. Now, there's got to be another tier, just like there is in agriculture and different things. I pay ag land, and I understand that, how it works very well, if it's based on productivity and so forth, and I don't have any problem with that. But these commercial things, I mean, I have other commercial properties, and they keep going up. Somebody said earlier, you got to start looking at, these businesses aren't going to stay here. I mean, we're fortunate we have a nice state, and a lot of 500 companies, too. But it's hurting a lot of these small businesses. I do counseling for SCORE, which is a nonprofit part of the SBA. And the many different things that I hear out there is the same thing. It's this taxation and all the burdens that the state want on us. So anyway, I won't bother any more on that. I guess I won't. I do like the idea. Somebody came along with the idea and said term limits. I think that should go all the way up to the president, which it is at the presidency. But thank you, and
thank you, Mr. Dahlman. Questions for Mr. Dahlman, members? Okay, thank you, Mr. Dahlman, and we'll have the next gentleman up. Somebody to be next on deck. Anybody in the room? Okay, in the back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Kev Cornelius.
Thank you.
My wife, Linda, and I live in rural Olmsted County. We also own some farmland that my wife inherited in Winona County, just over near Utica. We've discovered what I think one of the previous speakers had the same situation. The land was split up. One of the members of the family got the house and 10 acres, and the rest of the farmland belongs to us, along with our taxes, which doubled this year because of that. And it not only affects us personally for that situation, but we're not farmers. We inherited the farm. It's a century farm. It's been in the family for 3 generations. But we're not farmers, but we intend to keep it as a farm, and the renter is the one that's going to suffer from this too. So it's not just us. It's someone else as well. I wanted to take just a minute, too, to thank Senator Senjum for his proposal to eliminate the state tax on Social Security. My wife and I are both recently retired, and we're already starting to discover it would be nice to have that extra money in our pocket. Another thing that we're kind of concerned with, too, in the school taxes, we're obviously paying taxes in 2 townships and 2 counties, and it seems a little strange that since we're not considered homesteaded, obviously not living on that land, why are we paying school taxes in two places? And that's an issue with us as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cornelius. Members, any questions for Mr. Cornelius? Thank you. And next, and then another person to be on deck, please. Anybody? Okay, you're on deck, sir. Please come up. We've got an on deck chair here next to the on the table too. Okay, please introduce yourself for the record and then proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Greg Gallus. I'm from the Rochester community. And I'd also like to thank you and the rest of the committee members for coming down here this evening. You have made it very easy for this community, pretty much southern Minnesota, to let you hear our voice. And we all greatly appreciate that. The one thing I want to talk about, and I've heard a number of testimony this evening about school boards and levy authority. The legislation has given school boards unfettered, ability to assess non-voter approved levies. For Rochester alone, the school board could have assessed up almost 17% in the last fiscal year. On top of that, they could have gone after a referendum. This year, the Rochester Public School Board in particular could assess every taxpayer in the district 17% and ask for a levy. And they are currently in the process of looking at doing a two-part question levy referendum for an additional $9 million. Local control means local, as in we the voter, should be deciding those decisions, not an elected body that could assess 17% against everybody who's in the Rochester public school system. A lot of farmers, a lot of property tax owners, a lot of business owners. That's excessive. Give us the control back. Don't leave it up to some other body. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gallus. Members, any questions for Mr. Gallus? Thank you. And next. And another on deck person, if we could. Please raise your hand. Okay. Representative Pearson, Representative Hertas would like to say something.
I just wanted to comment on the last testifier's concerns about local control and school board levy authority. There are two of us members sitting here tonight that both serve on the Education Finance Committee and on the Property Tax Committee, and there really is a real nexus there. I'm sorry, three of us. Some of us have had our career in education. Some of us have had our career in business, so we have perhaps some opposing ideas or ideologies about the burdens and where they're placed. But this is the comments are really important that you're giving us as to whether or not right now there is concern about extending levy authority to other school districts to have non-voter approved levy authority. So if any of you have any opinions about that, we'd certainly like to hear that.
Thank you, Representative Hertas. Please introduce yourself, sir, and proceed for the record, and proceed.
My name is Don Burns. I'm from Rochester, Minnesota. I want to talk about the other side first of taxation, and that's the need for revenue for the counties, for the state, for schools. That's really the driving factor of taxation, is the required revenues. And the things that affect in the counties where I have some farmland, when I talk to the assessors, the ending statement most time is, well, we need so much money. It's either going to come from homeowners, landowners, commercial, but it's going to come from everybody. And my main comment is, if we know we need to do that, we just need it done fairly and equitable. One thing I have noticed in talking to some of the assessors, sometimes personal opinions come into play as to whether they feel ag should pay more, home should pay more, or commercial people should pay more. We got to get away from where personal opinions are going to start affecting the taxation of the different properties. The other thing I've noticed is the difference. You know, I own land in four counties. The lowest taxation is $25 an acre. The highest taxation is $55 an acre. The land is of similar quality. The difference is the county that has the lowest ag taxation has the most robust commercial and business atmosphere to deal in. One of the things I see in Minnesota is the inability to do business in Minnesota and to get a business started and running. I do several things. And it has taken me 3 years to complete one project. It isn't because of financing. It's because of the regulations. So I could have done it in 1 year. So you missed out in 2 years of taxation on that venture. You got to go back to the root cause of why we need more property taxes if you're going to solve the issue. Because if you lower a dollar on ag, you're going to have to charge increase homes a dollar. You increase homes a dollar, you're going to force people to move who can't afford it. I mean, that's just the way it is. So this is a problem that has to be driven from many different directions, not just somebody coming up here and saying, I need lower taxes, because you're just going to get it from somebody else, like they said, through fees or whatever. I did have a speech lined up to complain about the taxes I pay, but everybody can do that. What I want to start seeing is, on ideas, is number one, how can we speed up the process of doing business in Minnesota? So between all the requirements you got to meet, all the hurdles of zoning and just the process of getting electrical permits has gotten to be way out of hand. And that was my particular problem. A year and a half to complete the electrical permits. All these things cause businesses to move slow down, not be able to move at the speed they need, and then that backs up property values, backs up the ability to bring properties on to get taxed. So I wish you all to spend some time on evaluating how we can be a better state to attract more business, be a better state to attract more people. And you do have a problem of a lot of people retiring in Minnesota who are going to leave because they cannot afford to pay the taxes.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. Questions for Mr. Burns, members? Thank you, sir. And the next on deck person. You want to be on deck, sir? Please come up. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Larry Larson. I'm from Moore County, Sargent Township, and have been there all my life. We have both a farming business. My son and I started with my father. He started farming there in 1938, and then my brother and I came in the 60s, and now it's my son and myself, and along with some employees and some partners in our livestock project. And so we see both sides of it, the taxes as far as this commercial business is a grain company, and the farming is the land and the livestock. And I've always felt it a real privilege to be able to pay the taxes. I always felt as far as income taxes, I'd like to be the biggest taxpayer in the world. Then I know I'm making money, but if you're the biggest property taxpayer in the world, that's a little different problem because it's not based on what you can really afford. And I'm in favor of backing up the idea of 1 acre and a house. And I know that causes a great deal of difficulty for the person in town, because I know they're on limited income also, and but there's a lot more of those voters, and It's a lot easier to pass a bonding issue for, it's the bonding issue on the schools is what I'm concerned about on building. It's a lot easier to pass it when they're only going to go up $100, but we're going to go up several thousand on our land. And don't really have a problem for making money. It goes both ways in agriculture. So there's less of us to vote in that manner. And how you can come up with a balance, I don't know. But I think it needs to lean a little bit more toward evening it out based on houses. Consideration, I think it'll put a lot more consideration on the individuals that want to build. If it's tougher to get the money, we got to figure harder and do better. If it's too easy, we tend to waste, and we all do that. So, but that's what I would stand for anyway at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Questions for Mr. Larson, members? Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Larson, I know you mentioned you're from Mower County, and a previous testifier mentioned that they had land in several counties. If you come and testify, I know a lot of farmers have land in multiple counties, in multiple school districts. I, for one, and maybe it'd be good for the other members to understand how many different taxing jurisdictions you might be under, whether you're farming or business. So I'm just curious.
I'm just in one school district, the Hayfield school district.
Mr. Larson, go ahead.
Larry Larson.
Sorry.
I'm just Hayfield school district, which is good.
Representative Quam?
I've always felt the individuals that own land, even though they don't live on it, I've not been against them paying taxes on this. But you'd like to see them, they should be turning a profit in order to do this. You would hope, and that's why they usually own it. So, anyway.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Members? Okay. Another on deck person, please, if there is. Okay. Oh. Anybody else want to come up? Please come up if you want to be on deck. Yeah, right over here. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Ron Frank, and again, I'm from Mower County. We farm right on the state line, and so we see a lot of differences between Iowa taxes and Minnesota, the process of assessing this. I know this is not about assessment, but what I'm really talking about is some of the perverse effects of how farmland is assessed. Had a visit with our school finance person here yesterday, and the debt equalization, all this raise in farmland values, which is based on a really thin market, virtually nothing gets sold in my neck of the woods unless it goes to an estate. And so you got a lot of money chasing land that gets sold once every three generations. And that does not create a market that's based on economics as we see in normal business where you got expected rate of return and those kind of things. And in our district at Lyle, we've passed a bond, built a school a few years ago. And what's happened is our debt equalization is based on a formula with students, native students, to tax base. Our tax base has risen about three times in the last 10 years. Three times. Just in the last year, our debt equalization dropped one-third it was 2 years ago. And it's actually, we've dropped probably $150,000 that the school is getting with debt equalization on the original time of the bonding. So this is the things that we need to figure out on assessing farmland. Now, the Iowa system, they use a productivity base. I did some research on that. And that's based, it kind of roughly equivalates rental rates, which is closer to economic value to the farmer who's owning that land, who is producing. So they use a system like that. Iowa went to that system in 1979 for the reason in the 70s we had this big rise in property values, and they end up with these things we're getting now here. In fact, ours is much worse than it was then, where we got in Mower County, ag land is 54% of the tax base. You know, what is ag land used for? What's a load on the system? Very little compared to everything else. And so the system is deep, the problems are deep, and they need to go back to the assessment process. I know there's, we'll talk about that some more, but that's some of the perverse effects that happen because of the way it is, and a lot of the things that farmers are having, we've seen a lot of testimony, and some of their pain is actually caused by the schools are actually getting less money because of those formulas that are in place, and they need a really good look at how we do things completely. And I won't speak to the other things. Everybody's talked about that. But that's where I'm at. And I guess just as an example, I'll put an example out there. Same quality land right across the road from our family farm. The taxes, we have homestead special ag on that land. The taxes are less than half on Iowa farmland. It's right directly across the road. It's the same. And they don't have homestead credit per se. There's a little bit of family farm credit. You know, there's like $50 on 80 acres as opposed to what we have here. Now, if you're a non-family, you don't have special ag credit, it's much worse than that. There's guys are up to $55, $60, $65 an acre, which was rental rates 15 years ago, just for perspective. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Franken. Questions for Mr. Franken? Members? Thank you. Another on deck person, please. Anybody? Please introduce yourself for the record and then proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Ken Elke. I live here in the Stripville area in High Forest Township. I didn't realize this could be as formal as it was, so I didn't write anything down or else I would have. I'm very passionate about property taxes, have been for the last few years, since the rise in them, since they've been rising as fast as they have. I realize you talk to the county and they tell you about rising property values, and that's the reason your property taxes are going up. There's also the school issues. The bottom line is we need to curb spending. You know, the county gets their increase in money. They have a mill rate, you know, so they just tax your property at the value. Their budgets keep going up and up and up. So they get the money, they decide to spend it. All right, now the property values are going to start to come down. Well, what did the county do? They increased the mill rate. Therefore, you're stuck still paying a high tax, where your property taxes should be coming down when your value goes down. But it's not going to happen. The people have talked about, selling out. Articles on the DTN today about selling out and... with Obama's new loophole that he wants to get rid of in the tax, in the, I can't even think now, in the capital gains tax, they had an accountant up in the cities go through the numbers, and they had a thousand acres, $10 million farm. By the time it got all said and done, the family would end up with $900,000. So $9,100,000 would be spent on taxes, between federal and state taxes. So you want to get out, can't get out. Can't afford the property tax, can't afford to sell out. You know, you want to be a family farm, you want to support family businesses. The only solution is, if any of you have read books, history books, is how they dissolved bonanzas out west, is a large homestead credit. You want to support family businesses, family farms, large homestead credit, and you get rid of outside businesses. You know, if they were making money, they could pay the taxes. If not, sell it to somebody local. Keep local businesses going. So
I didn't catch your name again.
Ken Elke.
Ken Elke. Thank you, Mr. Elke. Yep. Questions for Mr. Elke? Okay, thank you, Mr. Elke. Anyone else that would like to testify? Welcome. Please introduce yourself and for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Tom DeBoer. I'm from Rochester, Minnesota. I'm here tonight to speak on the concern of the taxes for the farmers. I'd like to share that I am not a farmer, but my family, my father, made his living for 45 years from the farm community. He worked in this area in local cooperative creameries. One thing he shared with me, and I remember it very well, is whenever our farmers make money, everybody makes money because they spend their money here. If we don't get this tax issue solved for our farmers, and they're forced out of business because they can't pay the taxes to live on their land and make a living, and those properties are sold to corporate businesses that aren't in our area, all that money leaves our economy. We have been blessed to live here in Minnesota and have these farmers bring literally billions of dollars each year from all over the world back to our economy. You have to help these farmers. It's a serious issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DeBoer. Questions for Mr. DeBoer, members? Thank you, sir. Welcome, Mr. Meyer. If you would introduce yourself for the record, sir.
John Meyer. I'm a farmer here in Rochester area, anyway, Stuartville. I think Ken Elke had a really good point. Property taxes basically are local taxes. I mean, they're going to pay for our local schools, our county operations, our township operations. If they have more dollars coming in because property values went up, like they were saying, we've had record grain prices the last couple of years, and now we're at a level that's less than half of that. So those record income levels to spend to buy land that was priced way above what it should have been anyway are not going to be there now. Land prices will start to fall, but the local governments got used to spending the amount of money that came in the last few years. And they dedicated it to certain things, like schools that have to function, like road plowing, like all the government services, right? So now, for me, as a farmer, when my income falls to less than half of what it was 2 years ago, I have to find a way to make that work. I got to spend less. There's no way around it. What's the government going to do? It's just going to pass it on, raise the taxes, right? Are they going to lower those assessments? Well, where are they going to find the money from then? We can't keep on committing to spending money that we aren't going to have in the long term. We're out of control. We've got projects that are in the pipeline looking for money. The state says, okay, county governments, you got to match the funds and then we'll consider giving you some. So the counties look at it. It's always this looking up higher, and I see it up at the state level too. Oh, we can get federal dollars to match. Well, we're willing to commit the 30% or whatever we got to put in if we can get 70% of it from the federal government. Who's the federal government? It's us. We can't keep committing to projects that don't make sense, things that don't make sense, things we can't afford. Somebody's got to have the guts to say no. I guess that's the end of my speech. We got to have the guts to say no.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer. Questions? Questions, members? Okay, thank you, Mr. Meyer. Anybody else like to testify? Anyone? Okay, well, we do have about 15 minutes until the time we were going to close here. Representative Pearson, do you have any suggestions?
I did actually. I'll go on the record because I did get an email from a lady that could not make it here this evening. She's a senior citizen and just was really focused on folks who are on fixed incomes. I'll sign in as your testifier here for the evening, but just very focused on folks who are on fixed incomes and when they have just a certain amount of dollars that they're getting in from their Social Security, that when property taxes continue to go up, especially at the percentages that they're going up, for someone to continue to stay in their home, which from a public policy choice, we would prefer to see that as a state, of course, and just as human beings. You know, that's a terrible outcome if we're ending up having to have folks sell the homes that they're in because they just can't afford the increases. So she had shared that with me, and I'm happy to share that with you. And with that, thank you. I'll take questions.
Thank you, Representative Pearson. I think we'll catch your questions a different day. Please introduce yourself for the record and then proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, my name is.
I think we are at the government and lobbyist people can come forward now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for giving me a few moments to speak before this committee. My name is Mark Krupski, and I work for Olmsted County. I've been asked to attend this meeting by our county board, and I'm the director of Olmsted County Property Records and Licensing, which is a combination of the former row offices of auditor, treasurer, assessor, and recorder. So basically, I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none. But I've been with county government for about 25 years, and so when I look at some of the, you know, I hear some of the conversation tonight about property taxes, you know, there are shifts that go on from time to time, and different economies do affect it. Now, for agricultural properties, we've hit the perfect storm. What happened was you had a ramp up of values due to sales, and state law requires assessors to value property at market value. It's an ad valorem system. Now, that was the only property type in Olmsted County and most places that increased in value, and it increased dramatically. I mean, we increased values on ag land a couple of years ago by 35%, and then we, on average, and then we increased them again by 7.5%. And this year, it looks like we're somewhere, I'm not positive exactly, we're still studying it, but it could be another 6 to 8% increase on ag land, okay? And those are all based on sales. But when you only have one segment of your market increasing, what you get kind of a double, triple, or quadruple whammy on it, because what happens is that they're taking a larger allocation of the property tax, and that's what's happened here. If we go back historically, and we look back even just 5 years, in 2011, agricultural had 13% of the value in Olmsted County, and they paid 8% of the tax. That was their share. Commercial had 21% of the value, but they had 29% of the tax share, and residential was 66% of the value, and is 63% of the tax. And we have all this here, and I gave a copy to the chair of this board and to Representative Pearson, and I have 20 copies I can make more available if need be. So if we go through the years, we had a big shift to commercial in 2012, and what happened in Olmsted County, and it probably shifted to other property types in other counties that don't have a large commercial base. Commercial property still had 21% of the value, but they went from 29 to 35% of the tax burden for just Olmsted County taxes. So what happened there? The homestead credit went away, and it was shifted locally funded, and rightfully so, we're not disputing that, but how did it end up? In Olmsted, it went to commercial property still, and they paid 8% of the tax. Now it starts to change a little because ag economy goes up. For 13, ag was 13.7%, and then it went to 8.9% of the market share. So now ag's taken a bigger cut, a bigger slice of the overall property tax. And then for 14, that was the biggest gain. Ag went to 15.6% of the market and 10.4% of the tax. So that's ag picked up about 1.5% more of the tax burden. And the thing about the ag is there's less of those property owners, okay? So the ones that own it feel it quite a bit. And then this year, ag went up again about 0.4%, or they went up 15.8% of the market value, and they still have 10.4% of the tax. So you can see these shifts. And now these things swing, though, different ways. You can have a ramp up to the commercial market that could happen. Last year, I've heard from a few commercial owners here tonight, we had a sales study, and again, certain property types, retail, office, condo went up 20% and 10% and 20%. So again, they're the only players that change in the market, so get a little more shift to those property owners, and they feel it. But aggregately, most of your property owners and so forth weren't affected to that dramatically. I mean, my tax stayed relatively level. I own a single-family home, and most residences did. We also prepared here, and you can look at it later, but just a comparison, if you had a $750,000 property residential in Olmsted County, they pay $11,555. If it's ag non-homestead, it's non-homestead, and then if it was homestead, it'd be $6,655. And that's for $750,000 worth of value. But commercial pays $25,700, so they're paying a big chunk. But the big thing that they pay and nobody else pays in Olmsted for the most part is your state general tax. And I know that's been discussed before, too. In here, I've included a 50-state comparison. Shows us about middle of the road for, like, metros and so forth for residential property taxes from 150,000 home, 300,000 and up. But when you get in and in for commercial, we're about number five in the country. So, that's something to think about. But in rural state, outstate, somebody from Lewiston was here mentioned that their property tax is number two in the country, rural commercial. And he's right. That's the source of this information, by the way, is the Minnesota Center for Fiscal Excellence. It used to be the Minnesota Taxpayers Association. So, again, I just put some excerpts of that in here. And then what I would conclude with of what I'd have to say is the executive summary of the Property Tax Working Group was completed in November 2012, and they do have some great recommendations in there to simplify it if we're ever able to do that. And again, that's the executive summary for your consideration, which was a report that was turned over to the state legislature. And then we have some of our contact information of myself, our manager of assessment services, Julie Hackman, who's here tonight, and our property taxation manager, Heather Bessler. So, and if I can answer any questions or whatever, I'd be happy to do so.
Questions from members? Thank you, Mr. Krupski. We're going to, Senator Senjum and Senator Nelson, would you like to say anything as we summarize it? We'd like to conclude here in about 10 minutes, and then we're going to have the members of the committee maybe give kind of short closing statements and observations. Representative Pearson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just asked, and thank you, Mark, so much for coming. It may not feel like the most comfortable audience for you this evening, and we appreciate you taking the time to come here. And what I was asking Mark is if he'd be willing to let me share this. And he's going to email me an electronic copy of this. So if you're interested, this is about a 50-page document. And to save paper, if folks are really interested, which you probably wouldn't be here tonight if you weren't interested, you can just send me an email at nels@nels.com. That's the easiest one to write down or remember. So that's why I'm sharing that one with you all. But nels@nels.com, and I would forward a copy of this on to anyone that sends me an email. Just put on the note property tax info on the memo, and then I'll know what you're looking for, okay?
Thank you, Representative Pearson. nels@nels.com. I think I got it committed to memory. Senator Nelson, would you like to say something to the committee and to the people through this committee process? Welcome to our House Committee, Senator.
Thank you, Chairman Drazkowski. Let me just say, this is the second time this week I've addressed a House Committee. And so, yes, and first let me just thank you so much for bringing the committee here to the area that I am so honored to represent, and with Representative Pearson. So we are just so glad. And then I have to say to the group here, what a wonderful thing to walk in and see a room that is standing room only, full of concerned citizens. And I think that's truly how we get our best government. So thanks to all who are here. I had one comment regarding the property taxes. I could talk a lot about them as a member of the tax committee, but my comment is going to be of a personal nature. My husband and I own a small office condo in Rochester. And our property taxes went up 20.5%. And I found, and what is the most unfortunate about that is this When the statement came to us that said what those property taxes were, and at the bottom that they went up 25%, the little notice at the bottom said, and it is past your ability to appeal. In other words, you've passed the appeal date. And so while the assessment went up somewhat, it was a very little amount, but the property taxes skyrocketed. And the only time I found out was after the appeal date had passed. So I'm looking forward to working with you in the House at some, I think, property tax fairness. And one thing would certainly be about the timing of getting those statements, and then the excess. Businesses can't absorb that. That is another full-time employee. That is less investment in the business. So it is very difficult when the job providers and creators, when those taxes skyrocket like that, it puts a lot of pressure on our small businesses. So thank you, Mr. Chair and committee, and so glad to have Representative Pearson on board here tonight and at the House. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. And, you know, I know members of Representative Dabney and I have talked about the truth in taxation process, and I think there's probably equal frustration about the lack of utility that that process has. And I think a lot of us in the legislature, I know Representative Dabney's had a bill, Representative Markworth's had a bill in the past, and others have, to try to reform that process. And that's something I think over the next 2 years we hope we can endeavor to as well. And Senator, I think that's part of what you were saying about that notice. So Senator Senjum, would you like to share a little takeaway with us? Senator Senjum.
And I'm not going to be up here very long, so I'll just stand here and look at you rather than, well, maybe I should address the committee. This is okay.
You're in a House committee, Senator, and we want to get the best we want to get the best side of you.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and members, particularly those that traveled a long way. We really do appreciate you coming down. And certainly hearing our audience. And this is an audience, and this is a message which is not unusual. I think most of us that perhaps around the state that represent people within the legislature, especially in greater Minnesota, heard this message pretty loud and clear. Although we didn't have a campaign in the Senate, you know, we're out there like all the candidates were. And this is a big issue, this property tax issue, and particularly certainly commercial commercial properties, and particularly in my case, representing Dodge County area and so on, and northern Olmsted County, our rural areas, the agricultural tax issue is there, and it's real, and I think that we need to really hone in on that this session. I'm sure Senator Skoy, being a farmer himself, is sensitive to this, so Senator Nelson and I both happen to sit on the Senate Tax Committee. I think certainly we'll be urging that. We have to do it. I don't think there's any question about it. We need to do a little more than urging. It's really that important. And as has been pointed out tonight, and a lot of great testimony, let me tell you. But, you know, the secret to this is to grow Minnesota, not tax people away. And tax policy has a lot to do with that. And I think people also have to understand that to some great extent, tax policy, at least with respect to property tax, really starts at local government. And what we can do, and perhaps someday we'll get rid of the so-called business property tax, but frankly, all we can do beyond that is either impose levy limits on local government, and that's not fun because most of us do believe in local control, or buy down those property taxes, as former Representative Bradley was talking about, and that's maybe not terribly effective either. And if it's not effective, we also know it's relatively expensive. So in the end, getting control on spending is, I think, important. All of us, I think, recognize and would acknowledge that, if the truth be known. But we also have to know that those of us have sat on city council, school boards, and other aspects of our local government life do understand there's pressures. So finding that tender balance is the key. But certainly I think we've heard loud and clear tonight that agricultural property taxes are not in accord with the rest of, if you will, the property tax world. from the standpoint of especially residential. And I hope in the Senate, for instance, we can do this, you know, house, garage, and 1 acre, 2 acres, whatever it might be, but taxing agricultural land to the extent that it is right now. And it ebbs and flows with certainly commodity prices, but right now it's being taxed way beyond its ability to produce that income. So thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for being here tonight and listening to our audience. It's been a great audience and great testimony, and I really appreciate the time you took to do this.
Thank you, Senator Senjum. Members, let's give a kind of a closing comment ourselves. We'll start with Representative Lean.
Well, thank you again, Mr. Chair, for organizing this, and certainly thank all of you again for coming out, taking time out of your schedule to address us. It's certainly been very beneficial, I think, for all of us, and I certainly want to thank the local Olmsted County delegation for hosting us. But as I say, it's certainly been a good listening session for all of us, and a couple common themes I'm hearing are the inclusion of the ag property taxes into the local levies, the appraisals and the assessments, you know, if we can take a look at that, but also folks' ability to pay. And I think when we talk about property taxes, I mean, it's a very regressive tax. You know, it doesn't depend at all on your ability to pay. It's really based on your, you know, your assets, so to speak. So certainly a lot of things to take away here. But, you know, I think it's important to also think about the fact that the local governments, you know, they are tapped out. They are reaching that breaking point. And as I'm sure a lot of you are hearing, transportation is certainly going to be a big issue for us this session. You know, how we're going to address the needs out there for transportation. So, you know, we have to take all these things into consideration. And personally, as we've been starting the property tax committee over the last couple weeks, looking at overviews and things, you know, you take a look at the commercial taxes, you take a look at the ag taxes, and, you know, they're about, you know, like I say, about tapped out. And so, you know, if we can somehow facilitate some sort of increased ag market value credit, you know, I think that's a direction to take. I think also, you know, possibly looking at some of the sales tax things too, you know, because that's really about the only other place we can go from here. So just some of my thoughts, you know, some of my ideas, but certainly again, thank you all of you for coming out and addressing us tonight.
Mr. Chair, again, thank you for holding this hearing in Stuartville tonight and giving us the opportunity to come down and hear this. Thank you all who testified, because that's what we need to hear. I think we started really to scratch the surface of the complexity of Minnesota's property tax system, of how we're all in this together, and it's all, you know, intertwined pieces of the puzzle. On the local level, we've got the local dimension, we've got the state dimension. It is a complex issue. It is a hard one. Greater Minnesota has gotten hit harder in the last few years on property taxes. The repeal of the homestead market credit 4 years ago hit Greater Minnesota 8 times harder than it did Metro Minnesota. That's a chunk of what you're feeling. And then ag valuations, which I don't think anybody thinks are anything short of crazy in how they've been going up the last few years. So we started to scratch the surface. The challenge for us will be, after we went the last 2 years aggressively at property taxes, how can we continue and maintain what I think Senator Senjum called that tender balance? Local control, local people making decisions, the interactions between the different classes of property. How do we tackle that? And I think you've got a panel of folks in front of you who's willing to continue to take that on. Thank you.
Well, I too am really grateful to everybody for the comments they've shared, and even for folks who haven't shared comments but just shown by being here how important you take this issue. And I can assure you that we really take it as seriously as well. We do have an enormously complicated property tax system. As Representative Lean said, it's it really is not based on ability to pay, right? I mean, ownership of an illiquid asset does not necessarily translate to then this ability there, and so we're really examining all that. You know, I know, and I'm new to the legislature, my first year, I know that there was enormous amount done over the past couple of years to provide property tax relief, both directly and then also indirectly through support to communities, both here and then throughout the state. And I guess I'm really looking forward to working with my colleagues to build on that. And I'm definitely taking to heart all the comments that have been made tonight, and so really appreciate you coming out to do that. So thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you also, Mr. Chair, and thank you, everybody, for coming out and sharing your comments. I share a lot of the concerns that you do. I'm an ag land owner also, and get the property tax statements. Otter Tail County, Stevens County, and Hennepin County, I own farmland. And, you know, particularly in the Hennepin County area, it's not only taxed as farmland, it's also taxed at its development potential. So the burden is quite heavy, and as we've talked about the regressivity, it doesn't necessarily relate at all to your income. In my view, farmland's only worth what it can produce. And if you have property taxes of $150, $200 an acre like I do in Hennepin County, there's no profit. You know, you're just in a holding mode. So, you know, how did we get this point? And, you know, I would just like to offer for your benefit just a little bit of an explanation as I view it. We heard someone tonight say just across the road in Iowa, the system's rather simple. I also know in other states, property tax classification system is simple. We have 55 classifications of property, and some would argue even as many as 70 because of some of the subclasses. Well, how did that come to be? Each time the legislature over the last several decades hears concerns about rising property taxes for a certain segment of the marketplace, they create a new classification and do a carve-out. What does that carve-out do? It shifts the burden of that property taxpayer onto the rest of you. So here we are 20, 30 years later with all these classifications. How do we turn the clock back? How do we make it fair? What is your definition of fair? Is it fair that somebody pays half the rate than somebody across the street because it has a beneficial classification? Reform is going to take a lot of courage, and it's going to incur some pain initially, because if you start cleaning up this system and make it simpler and fairer, it means many people are going to be losers initially. But predictability is what I've heard we need with regard to the business community and the business taxes. So it is complicated, and I hope that we can move towards streamlining some of the classifications and narrowing it down and get back to what many of the states have, is just four or five classifications. A house is a house is a house, whether you live in it or somebody else does. It's a house. Farmland is farmland is farmland. I share the concern about the lack of comparables. I'm also in real estate. When you have just a few sales, it totally distorts the comps. And many of the counties, and especially in the metro area, do what's called bulk assessing or bulk modeling. They'll accumulate kind of a five-year model. So it takes a little longer for it to go up. And then when there's a little relief in the market, it takes a long time to go down also. So there's maybe benefits on one side, maybe not benefits on the other. So each of us opens that property tax statement, and we maybe look to the state for solutions, but it is a local issue. We can buy it down, but if we buy it down, then we're disengaging you from showing up at your town hall, at your township hall, at your city government, at your county government, to hold people accountable to the spending. I heard spending very often tonight. Also, we heard about the truth in taxation. Maybe it should really be a truth in budgeting on your tax statement. If we get everybody involved in the process, that's how you keep a lid on the property taxes. So with that, I want to thank you so much for the comments you had. We plan on having at least one or two more of these, I understand, and then some of us members of the committee may just hold our own independent ones in our own local districts and communities, and we'd certainly like you to participate in those too. Be happy to come up to Minneapolis and tell those city folks how you're not paying your fair share.
Thank you, and I'm glad the fire marshal isn't counting because we've got a great crowd here. And forgive me, session let out, the tie went off. I got home, dropped the jacket, put on the sweater, and got local and more comfortable. And, you know, frankly, I see a lot of people that I recognize who have come with different issues, and a lot of people that grew up here, and it is different than you know, we hear city folk. Well, you know, different parts of the state are different. But when I grew up, and we'd often borrow a wagon or a tractor or something, we were taught to return it in better condition, clean it, grease it, fill that tank, and show appreciation because it's other people's property. And what I try to do when I'm up at the legislature is remember, it's not my money, it's yours. I have to be more diligent and more careful than I would be with my own. And sometimes we, especially at the state, less than local, it becomes numbers and things down here with the cities, the townships, and the county. It's faces, it's people, and that's what's important. And by us coming down, we got to see your faces, to meet the people that it impacts, because we are different in different parts of the state. And the more we get to understand how what we do impacts you and how the silver bullet one solution impacts different people and different groups in different parts of the state specifically, hopefully will help us to understand how we can avoid unintended consequences. I grew up in a farmhouse that, you know, there was the original, and then there was added here, added there, and added there. And that's sort of what we got with the property tax system. Only I've never seen a farmhouse with 50, 60 additions to it, and that would give you an idea of what we're working with. And it really would take a lot. But at some point, I think we're going to have to tear it down, build her new, and build her right. And thank you again for coming.
And with that, I'll let the chair have concluding remarks.
Thank you, Representative Hertas. I'd like to thank everybody for coming, too. And I'd especially like to thank my fellow members on the committee, obviously, and thank Representative Pearson for inviting us down and helping organize this venue and let everybody know about the meeting. Very good meeting. Representative Hertas, coming from kind of west, northwest of the city, somewhere in there, and getting to know Representative Pinto from Minneapolis or St. Paul area and Representative Davney from Minneapolis. And Representative Lean gets the long distance award today. He came all the way from Moorhead. And so you've got really kind of some diversity about different parts of the state. And we look forward to going this weekend to Albert Lea and doing another one of these. And Representative Quam is absolutely right. It's about getting out to the people and hearing from them. And I kind of joked about it, but we do hear a lot from lobbyists at the Capitol. We do hear from the government regularly at the Capitol. Mr. Cummins, we give you the needle once in a while about that, and you give it back, and it's a really good relationship. But through that, we don't get to hear the real stories about real people and the impacts and the changing impacts that policy has on them. And we can really gather that. It's really palpable here tonight, and so we really appreciate that. In terms of policy, yeah, you have our commitment. We're going to dig into these things. We're going to look at things, the truth in taxation stuff. The House Garage and an Acre, I've got a bill drafted up, and we're going to introduce that bill. It'll be introduced in another week or two, and I have a pretty strong commitment, I think, from Senator Coonan in the Senate, and Senator Coonan is going to bring the bill, Senator, I know you'll get in touch with him and help him with that. and see if we can get that passed. It's not a simple thing. I think someone mentioned there's a debt equity aid for schools and how that all interfaces, and we'll have that in the bill, and we'll have the discussion, and we'll try to get the needle right on that, and we might even have to put some more state money into that. I don't know how that's going to work yet, but we're going to have the discussion and do what we can, and hopefully we can pass that to provide some relief to the ag taxes into the future. We're going to have discussion about the business taxes, too. Someone mentioned tonight the statewide property tax, the commercial industrial property tax. For those of you in the commercial sector, that's usually about 30 or sometimes as high as 40% of your property tax bill. And we're one of the few states in the country to have something like this, I think. It's a huge amount of money. That's money that goes directly to the state government and is part of the state budget. It is not retained locally. And again, it's about 30% or more of your commercial property taxes. If we can repeal that, it's $1.6 billion. So, you know, we probably can't bite it all off at once. But we can write it so that it's repealed over a number of years and it goes down. You know, the bill I'm drafting is going to go down 10%. 10% and then so much each year. But we have to try to take runs at things like that that are important that help us be competitive here again in that state. So I really appreciated all that folks had to say here tonight. So thanks again for coming. Representative Pearson, thank you. And members, meeting is adjourned.